Thank you very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up a little later in the program, Bill Geiger will be here. You know, he's the retirement expert, and we'll talk about what's going on Wall Street and what you can do to sort of protect your money as the Dow and other indices in China as well tend to head south. At least they are for the start of the year. I think you heard Orion say that this is the worst it has been. The worst start since maybe the year 2000. So that's coming up. Philip Weiss as well from Seyfarth Shaw at Work is here with some new regulations for the coming year. And we're going to talk about equal pay in the workplace and where that applies. But first, let's go to Las Vegas where everyone else is. And Jennifer Jolly joins us now, the Tech Life columnist on the phone line. Jennifer, welcome back to the Business Lunch. It's nice to talk to you again.
Oh, it's nice to be back, and I'm pretty sure you're right. Everyone is here, for sure.
It's sort of an obligatory thing if you're doing a show or if you're a reporter that you got to check in with this. It's the post-holiday sort of extravaganza.
That's right, and this is where all of the gigantic tech companies, except Apple, and all of the tiny tech companies show off what they're working on for this year and beyond. So I have seen everything from, of course, the bigs, the self-driving cars, the newest drones that do everything from spot selfies to fly themselves to bring you things from the kitchen, and just absolutely everything in between. Yesterday, I spent some time with Aldebaran's Pepper. That's the new AI robot that will be released hopefully in 2016. She's almost, you know, she's half my size. I'm 5'4", and I think she came up to my shoulders or something. She's, you know, fairly tall and incredibly intelligent and interactive. You know, talks, gives you hugs, and can run, you know, little errands for you.
She talks and she gives you hugs, and then in a few days she takes your job, Jennifer. That's how it works.
Her batteries died before mine.
We were talking in the office today about different topics for next week, and there was an article, I think, in Fast Company today or yesterday about which jobs are more susceptible than others for being taken over by robots. So that's kind of in keeping with it. I want to talk to you about some of the technology and about how I can wake up to the aroma of bacon every day. But before we do that, you know, this is a business show. So rather than just talk about the gadgetry of it all, I want to talk about the business of it. And I was talking to Bill and Wendy before the break about, you know, whether all of this is for show or whether it's for dough. I mean, how important business-wise is this consumer electronics show?
Yeah, it's both. This is where all the C-level folks, plus all the startup folks, they get together and they go to dinner and they meet and they speak in the various panels. I moderated a couple panels yesterday that were incredibly diverse, from the CEO of Periscope to the CEO of Discovery Communications. And these companies are coming together, figuring out how to work together. The older companies, I did a spin with Polaroid CEO yesterday. The older companies like that are really figuring out from shows and from the younger, hungrier startup folks here how to be relevant going forward. And it was really interesting with that CEO of Polaroid yesterday on how that company 3 or 4 years ago, I thought they were going away. I thought they were dead in the water, and they have really reinvented themselves and come out more relevant than ever.
It's so funny. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jennifer, but it's so funny you say that, because my daughter is home from college. She was cleaning out her closet and she found two old Polaroid cameras, now old by her standards, so, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. But what is Polaroid doing to stay around?
Well, Polaroid last year, they launched a tiny little printer the same size as a smartphone that prints wirelessly via Bluetooth the photos from your smartphone. This year, they came out with a smartphone-sized camera with a full display on the back. You can snap a photo, print a photo instantly, so just like the good old days.
I like that.
But you can also print photos right off of your smartphone. They're also dabbling heavily into 3D printing, which is interesting for a company like that. They put out their own drones because, by and large, tons of people are using drones to take selfies.
Wow. So will deals be made here? I mean, is this the sort of thing where people are going to, I mean, I'm thinking maybe of movie festivals, you know, where your movie is seen and then you get a contract to distribute it. I mean, are deals like that being made at a show like this?
Absolutely. There's a company called Wiseware. I've done a couple stories on them for USA Today so far, where it's a beautiful bracelet. It's a bracelet I would be attracted to in any kind of department store and spend a couple $100s on, you know, for a special occasion. But this bracelet, three taps can call the police. Three taps can call a loved one and show them instantly via Bluetooth and Wi-Fi where you are in the world. And, you know, it's kind of a panic button. And then, of course, it's also tracking steps and sleep and all those other things that we've decided we have to track these days. That company showed up here at Unveiled the first night, and I checked in with them again yesterday, and every major department store, Target, Walmart, all of them have talked with them. They've just made their company in the last 3 days.
Those are the stories I like to hear, the people who go with the product and sign a deal and walk away with more than just the publicity, because publicity is great, but you got to get something out of that.
There's a 20-year-old CEO here who did the exact same thing. He's 20 years old, and his company has these steering wheel covers that he dreamed up when he was 17. They can tell when you've taken your hand off the wheel, and it's set out to
deter.
Deter and curb put together, disturb, new word, you know, for CEO. And, you know, he's said as well. So, yeah, I love to see that. And I met with a scientist last night. He was working with Dolby Labs on what VR does to your brain. I mean, it's truly amazing.
All right, let's talk bacon then, because I'm a very easy sleeper. My alarm's not an issue. My son, for Christmas, we gave him an alarm clock that you have to shoot a dart at in order to stop it.
my prediction, he'll break it in about another month. If he makes it another month, he will unplug, break, otherwise destroy that thing.
I'm under no illusion. That's true. So, but I'm reading about a new alarm clock there that actually, maybe is this for the first time, uses aroma to wake people up.
Yeah, I saw that unveiled as well. It was interesting because looking at it, it didn't look like anything special. So they really are going to rely on that whole aroma sense to sell that particular alarm clock. And it's interesting because the buzz is, hey, it's interesting we're all talking about it, but we're still going to use our smartphones to wake us up.
Right.
So the verdict's out, you know, on whether that's going to be a thing. And I've been, Oscar Mayer a few years ago came out with a little plug-in. You plug into the headphone jack of your phone and can smell bacon anytime, anywhere. So especially with the bump up of VR, I do expect that kind of thing, that aroma technology to take off. So you'll be seeing and hearing more about that, especially when it comes to this virtual reality and immersive technology.
I'm glad you brought that up. In the minute we've got left, the virtual reality versus augmented reality, I want you to explain that for me. I'm not sure I understand that. And then also how it plays with Hyundai, because, right, they've created sort of a virtually realistic owner's manual, I guess.
Yeah, and I took Hyundai's virtual guide for a test drive the other day. What that does, what augmented reality is, or AR, is an overlay. So it's an app on your smartphone or on your tablet or some kind of technology, maybe a video game that you can interact with that pops up on your screen an alternate sort of reality. So when you point Hyundai's virtual guide, this is to replace the old driver's manual. When you point that at the hood of your car, you know, you pop the hood, you point it at the hood of the car, and little symbols pop up, where to change the oil, where to change the air filter. And then when you tap on that symbol, it walks you through it. It's holographic, but living on a screen. So it's not just popping up, you know, and you're interacting with it above the various apparatus.
I love that, though, because then you go right to the problem. I mean, you're not looking up the problem, you're pointing to it.
Right, and I changed the oil and the air filter in less than 5 minutes myself.
Excellent.
I've never done that before.
Jennifer Jolly, I'm glad you were here. And then let me know when you can come by the garage and change my oil. Will you do that for me?
You bet. I'd happily show off that new skill. I'm a little proud of it.
That's Jennifer Jolly. You can read her in USA Today. Watch her on the Today Show on NBC and just about everywhere else. Jennifer, thanks for joining us today, and enjoy your time in the desert.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. It's 12:22. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. My name is Steve Bertrand. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve Bertrand or on Facebook at Steve Bertrand or also at Steve Bertrand on Books. All right, Bill Geiger of Geiger Wealth Management is here. And just in time, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has dropped, about 100 points since I got on the air, Bill, and I'm not taking it personally.
It's, no, not whatsoever.
Now down about 340 points, 342 for the day. The NASDAQ down 128.
Yeah, the Dow's been down over 1,000 points in the last week.
And what's that about?
Well, you know, I had a couple in from the show yesterday for the first time in the late 50s, about 5 years from retirement, and they were asking the same thing. And there's a lot of different reasons floating around. You can talk about China. You can talk about dropping oil prices. You talk about terrorism. I mean, all that stuff is folding in. But the kind of sort of big deal is the U.S. economy is weak and the market is too high. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But the economy's growing, right? But not at a fast enough clip.
You know, there's more people on unemployment right now than we have in the history of this country. There's more people on food stamps than we've ever had historically. There's more people who have dropped out of the labor market than we ever have. This is not a healthy economy.
Okay, but the numbers, the job numbers are getting better, right?
And those are not real. Those are not real. You take all those people that have given up looking for work out of it, and it makes the numbers unreal. You take a vice president at IBM who lost his job and is now flipping burgers, he's considered employed. This is not a healthy economy. And what I told these folks is this, is, you know, they're in their late 50s. If you're 5 to 10 years from retirement, this is not the time to try to be making big money. You want to do that, buy a lottery ticket. It's up to $650 million.
Yeah, well, it is because the lottery ticket I bought yesterday didn't pan out so well.
Yeah, it's up to $650 million. But the real story right now is if you're getting close to retirement, protect what you have. This is the time. We've been talking about this for a while. But this is really the time to protect what you have. The couple that was in the office yesterday, we got online and looked at their account. They lost over $60,000 since the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're starting another 2008, and George Soros, who I hate to quote, said that this morning.
Yeah, he did. He called it a crisis.
He called it another 2008. Well, if that's true, and we're sitting here 5 years from now, and you've just recovered from another 2008, that is not going to help anybody's retirement.
So that's your 50s and 60s, right?
Late 50s, early 60s.
20s or 30s, you ride it out?
You got 20 years to make it back again.
All right, so if you're in your 50s and 60s, what do you do, or what do you suggest people do?
What you do is you reduce your risk. The couple that we were talking to yesterday, they were going home and moving half their portfolio into cash. Now, it's in IRAs, and there was no commission to do so, no tax effect to do so. But I thought it was really a prudent thing to do, is to take some of that risk off the table. Now, that's not the only way to reduce your risk, but that is a way. You know, in your late 50s, you need to protect what you have, and you really need to start setting yourself up for the income that you're going to need in retirement. And this is a great time to start doing it.
But that's if you've got what you need to save, right?
Wait, look, nobody ever has as much as they want. I've sat down with people with $20 million and say, if I can just have $40 million, I'm going to be okay.
Right.
Nobody ever has what they want. But let's say you've got a $1 million portfolio right now, and you really like $2 million. So you like to hang it. Listen, if that million goes to $500,000, what have you gained by swinging for the fences in a horrible market environment? This is not the time to do it. You will get to that $2 million faster if you protect the million that you have today. That's the bottom line.
All right. So let's see. Since we started talking, the Dow is now, it's a bit of recovery, down 310 points. So way to go. It's the Geiger bounce. How do people get a hold of your blog?
You can go to growmyretirement.com. Go to growmyretirement.com and sign up. We'll send it to you.
Fantastic. Bill Geiger, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, sir.
You remember, you can sign up for Bill's weekly retirement planning. I do this every week. I ask you about the blog, and then I read about the blog. My timing's got to get better. But you can sign up for the retirement blog at growmyretirement.com. Bill Geiger of Geiger Wealth Management's offering a great opportunity for listeners today. He'll sit down with you personally to create a full-blown financial plan for your retirement. It's a $3,000 value. Geiger Wealth is offering this plan complimentary, no charge, to the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for their retirement. Just call Geiger Wealth at 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. Geiger Wealth Management will translate the complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps. It's a full-blown financial plan, analyzing not only where you are today, but most importantly, a roadmap to get you to where you need to be. So for the next five callers with at least $500,000 saved for retirement, Geiger Wealth is offering a complimentary financial plan. Call 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. Thank you very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch on this Thursday afternoon. Philip Weiss is here as well, the Managing Director of Seyfarth Shaw at Work. Philip, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year to you. And, you know, Philip and I joke a lot because he's usually here to tell us about all the things that can go wrong in the workplace. And we have fun with it from time to time. But, you know, your business is advising other businesses, right, to be aware of regulation and to be aware of potential pitfalls and things like that.
Exactly.
And new regulations this year. The one I want to talk to you about is equal pay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talk a lot about equal pay, but where are we in the law in Illinois?
Yeah, it's a good question, Steve. It's been changing the last 5 years, and we think that 2016 will be kind of a banner year in terms of both company awareness and possible litigation. The federal government said equal pay is a major focus for them coming into this year mm-hmm. and through 2016. The Illinois legislature has just expanded its equal pay law to cover every employer. Even if they've got one, two, or three employees, one would be hard to litigate. But that means if you've got two employees, and one's a man, one's a woman, and they're doing the same work, you got to pay them the same rate, and the agencies are going to look at this long and hard.
Are the divorce lawyers aware of that? Because I think that'd be a lot of fun in a husband and wife business team.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised how often people try to sue each other based on business practices in divorce proceedings.
Is that right? Oh, yeah, really?
It doesn't always work. What we're seeing, interestingly, is we've had situations where former husbands and wives were both hired by the same company, and the pay was different between them. We had one case, in fact, where a widower was hired, five kids at home, and the same day, a 25-year-old female employee from a wealthy family was also hired. And the boss, even though they had the same job responsibilities, figured, I got to look after this guy. He's home, he's taking care of the kids by himself, and paid him 20% more than the woman and ended up in court.
So I'm thinking that's probably a small businessman where you know everyone who works for you? Or
yeah, and that's really where...
I'm thinking small town. This is a small town thing to me.
Well, it's interesting. You think that, but because of the focus on tech startups, the focus on startups in general, what the agencies are seeing is if you get companies to institute consistent practices at the very beginning, when they've got two, three, or four employees, they won't worry about it later, and they'll already have a practice in place.
I see, right. And then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
So let's go back to this widower with five children.
Yeah.
I know a widower with five children. I don't think it's him. And then a young girl starting out, right?
Yeah.
So they would both be going to the workplace with the same level of experience and all of that, right? They wouldn't have...
That's the idea.
And so then they'd have to be paid the same.
That's it. I mean, absent some existing seniority system when he's been working longer than she has, absent some substantial difference in skills, the fact is if they're doing the same work and they have the same experience, the pay's got to be the same. So you got to look at the performance, not the person.
Which is right. I mean, that's the way it should be, I guess. I mean, it's nice to have some altruistic motive and try to help someone who needs it more. but it's not nice to say, well, your parents are rich and you don't need it, and I'm not going to treat you fairly.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. We find that perhaps a third of these lawsuits, whether it's equal pay, whether it's gender discrimination, whether it's any area, they come from sort of bad apples. But two-thirds come from sort of the good-hearted leader who's trying to do the right thing. And in small businesses, family-owned businesses, even in Chicago, that's a driving force.
I can totally see that. I totally can understand that happening where you think you're doing the right thing. And, well, maybe you are doing the right thing, but you're not doing the legal thing.
Yeah. That's,
or maybe you're not doing the right thing.
Well, you may be ethically in your own mind. The reality is circumstances change. People's economic conditions change. And the company has got to be set up for the long term, because later on it will be hard to readjust.
So that's the key. That's a nice thing to consider, that this is something that if you're running a business, you've got to start with these ideas, because forcing the square through the circle a little bit later is going to be harder to do.
Yeah, you couldn't have said that better. The fact that the equal pay law in Illinois was about 4 employee companies, and now it's about 1 to 2 employee companies, really illustrates that fact.
So has there been a case? Well, I guess it's a new law, right? So there hasn't been a case of a 2 employee company going to court.
Yeah, not in Illinois that I know, at least in recent memory, and certainly not under Illinois law. The fact is these equal pay laws represent a big trend. California plaintiff lawyers are awfully busy pursuing similar claims. And a lot of the complaints that we get come from our clients actually in other states and around the country. So Illinois is at the forefront of expanding the law, but the cases are out there.
Waiting to be coming in.
That's right.
Okay, one more, because I'm still trying to get my arms around this idea of a two-person. So if there's a two-person workplace, and one sues for being underpaid, it would not be the boss, it'd be the other person, right? And if the other person, if the boss is the boss, you'd think the boss would be entitled to more money.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the reality of this is the calculation doesn't make sense typically unless you've got 3 people working together, as you know.
Right.
I mean, no one's tested this in terms of 2 people, and one's the boss and one's an employee, because the boss has more responsibility and therefore should be paid.
Sure.
And is going to participate in the profits.
So it's like playing Monopoly. It's fun with 2. It's okay with 2, but you need 3.
That's really the practical application of this law. But the signal is start with the right practices from day one.
So let's move on then to you're running an office and you find out that one of your employees is about to have a baby. Well, maybe you should think that the whole office is about to have a baby.
Yeah, well, quite honestly, that's true in the sense that you want to be consistent. The risk, of course, is you don't want to announce to the whole office that one or more people is having a baby, because that could be a violation of privacy rights. We actually had a company in Chicago came to us because their practice, Steve, was when somebody became pregnant, they would immediately announce it to everybody and ask that cards, personalized cards, be created by every employee. Some of the cards were complimentary. Some, frankly, were not. In fact, the new senior manager's, his contribution to the card collection was, finally, you have a reason to shirk your work responsibilities.
That was a card they
made?
That
was a card meant in fun, ended up as an exhibit in court. But your point about consistency is really important. I mean, Illinois is one of those states that's also been at the forefront in terms of pregnancy, in terms of making sure that employers are ready to accommodate employees if they need longer bathroom breaks, if they need an opportunity to breastfeed, or at least express their breast milk, because frankly, the kid may not be there. The reality is, though, accommodation laws in Illinois, that's something employers don't know about, and we're seeing that area as another big risk factor. The federal government actually has said pregnancy is another area they're going to focus on this year.
Okay, so let's take this through a scenario where you're running a business, you're unaware of the regulations, and so you're violating them. I would imagine there's a way to resolve this short of a lawsuit.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point. And frankly, many companies lose cases not because they did the wrong thing initially, which they may have done, but because they didn't set up a process internally that could have resolved it and really should have resolved it short of a lawsuit. So having a process where people know if they feel they've been treated unequally, they can come forward, giving them places to go and a way to follow up internally to resolve it and then set a standard for the future is critical. The reality, of course, is a lot of companies don't do that, and managers are making decisions on their own in the moment, which equals inconsistency.
You know, I keep going back to the guy who gave the widower more money than the young woman and got in trouble, because I think this is what frustrates a lot of people with business regulation, is that someone who's trying in their heart to do the right thing
ends up, you know, being punished.
Yeah.
I don't know what the resolution to that is, because I understand the woman's point of view completely, and they do, you know, equal pay is vital, and he shouldn't do that. But it's like, that's what I think is the rub for so many people, when it's bosses who are trying, who are doing what they think is the right thing,
yeah,
and then they get in trouble.
Yeah, there's no question that kind of pulls at your heartstrings when you think of it that way. The reality is, most small business people want to become big business people. They want to grow the business. And therefore, the risk they're taking and the reputational damage they may be causing in the future is just not worth being a good person.
And the other thing is, even though they think they're doing the right thing, the problem, the issue is with them, not with the result of it, because they aren't doing the right thing. They need to do it a different way.
Yeah. To that point, Steve, we've been in rooms with groups of managers who started out as mom and pop owners of companies. And they told us, now that it's 10 years later, they only wish they had started with a standard for everybody. And people have said to me, I actually feel liberated for the first time ever, because I actually can do this in a way that I can explain it to every employee, not just the one who's not the widower.
And then say, and look here, here's the rule. The rule is written down.
Right. And I have to do it for this way because, frankly, you could be in another position next time. And I want to be fair to you then as well.
That's Philip Weiss, the managing director of Seyfarth Shaw at Work. I love when you come in. Thanks very much for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. Good to see you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here on this Thursday afternoon. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter. You can do that at Steve Bertrand. Or on Facebook, I've got a Steve Bertrand page and also Steve Bertrand on books. All right, so Blake Baum is here in the studio, and he has got a business called T-Baum Barbecue that he didn't really expect would ever exist, I guess, right? Blake, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, so I told a little bit of the genesis of this interview, but I was at a friend's house, best friend's house, for New Year's Eve. We had dinner. I'm like, wow, where'd this, you know, did Sarah cook this? Because it's really good.
Thank you very much.
And he's like, no, it's this guy, Blake. And, you know, he sort of backed into this business and he's now looking to expand it. And so we exchanged some emails and I think you got a pretty good story. And,
I appreciate that.
And you've got a great product, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
All of it.
Because
I've tried it all. But tell me about how you got here. I mean, you worked on the Board of Trade?
I worked at the Board of Trade for a long time, about 20 years. And after computerized trading came about, the floor sort of disintegrated,
right,
as everybody knows. And so from there, I was trying to catch on with some online trading, and it never panned out. So I've always done some family parties and catered for that, and pretty much barbecue. And then one day I was at Howard Street Inn, and the owner, which is a friend, asked if he wanted to try my food and see how it was. And from there, it was pretty much... He right away said, can we use your food? Can you cook here and do specials here? And I was up for it.
The Howard Street Inn is in Niles.
Niles, Illinois.
Right.
Yeah, it's on Tam Golf Course. It's Howard and Caldwell, basically.
Okay.
So from there, it's gotten bigger.
Did you always want to be a cook?
No, never thought it. I always enjoyed cooking for myself.
Right.
And now I realize it's even better when people try my stuff and enjoy it. I get a lot out of that because, I mean... all the compliments. So,
all right, so let's go to your backyard.
Okay.
What, maybe 10 years ago?
Yes, probably about 10 years ago. I mean, I've started out on a regular Weber grill, and then it went from basically, you know, 100 here, 100 there, kept on going, and then now I went out and had to get a bigger commercial size smoker.
When you say 100 here, 100 there, you're talking about cash.
Yes, for different smokers.
Right.
So it's gone a long way, and now I have one that I like a lot. And I can do about 300 pounds of meat at one time on it.
So you're in your backyard, though, and you're smoking pretty much. You're in your backyard smoking,
yes,
like so many guys are.
Yes.
But, you know, doing it for friends and family.
Correct.
And friends and family were saying, hey, this is really good. You should do something with it.
Yes.
Did you go to the Howard Street Inn out of curiosity or out of desperation?
No, I think it was...
you know what I mean?
Or
you
no, thinking, I understand.
Oh, I got to get something going here.
Right, right. I probably wasn't going to do it at all until Kenny, the owner at Howard Street Inn, said, can we use your food? Do you want to do this? And we talked about it. And from there, it's taken off. And I really enjoy cooking. Now,
yeah.
And a lot of people will say it's a lot of work, and I'm there a long time, but I get a lot out of it. And
that's Blake Baum. He's the accidental Julia Child, and he's in our studio today.
Yes, pretty much so.
Yeah, I mean, you're an accidental chef.
Yes, yes.
And so you're at the Howard Street Inn. Things are going well.
Yes.
You're making it for family parties.
Correct.
How did the catering thing come about?
They have a banquet hall there, and through different friends, they have tried my food. Can you do this? Can you do this? And it's been great. You know, I get to meet a lot of people now, and it's a friend of a friend, a friend of a friend, and that's how I came to meet you.
Right. And so, I mean, is there a next step for you? Do you want to grow?
I think there has to be a next step. I mean, I think it's a product that I can move on with. I just, right now, everything is really, it's come fast. I've never mapped out a business plan or anything quite like that. And I think that's some time that I have to sit down and do it myself.
How would you do that? What would be next for you? I mean, open up your own shop or just expand the catering?
I think expand the catering.
Right.
That would work, and then go from there. And,
you know, I think you're every wife's either dream or nightmare, like every guy who thinks he can smoke.
Right, right, right.
Honey, I got this under control. But you really do.
I try.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I enjoy it. So that's even better. So
if people are interested,
yes,
how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at blake@tbombbarbecue.com.
Okay.
And also at the Howard Street Inn. The food is there pretty much 7 days a week if it doesn't sell out.
I think Keith would suggest that people come in and try the food, right?
Correct.
That would work.
Correct. That works. Yeah. Especially Monday nights, we have a rib special, which is, I think it's like $15 for a full slab of smoked ribs, my ribs, coleslaw and fries, which is a great deal.
And you're on Facebook, too.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about joy. You talked about the idea of it felt good to have other people enjoy your food.
Correct.
Is that the payoff for you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not worried about, I mean, not to say I'm financially set, I'm not, but I really get more out of that than the money. I mean, it's nice to see people have a smile on their face when they're eating your food.
And now you're tinkering with sauces, right? You're trying a new sauce?
Yes.
You went from like just throwing a slab in the smoker to working on the sauces and the sides and all of that.
Yes.
What's been your biggest disaster? This? No.
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I never thought it'd be this much time. And it's very time consuming, and I try and manage my, you know, this and that. I mean, I've had, you know, different things have gone bad, but I'm over that, I think, hopefully.
Well, you learn from it, right?
Yes, yes.
You ever have like an order that you just couldn't fulfill?
No.
Oh, see?
Yes, but I take on a lot more than I probably should.
All right, what's your favorite thing to cook?
I think chicken wings. Smoked chicken wings
really?
Are really good.
There's no bang in chicken wings.
You haven't tried mine.
What? And you brought in today some things. And
yes.
One thing that I'd never heard of, a burnt end.
Yes.
What's a burnt end?
It's part of the brisket. The brisket has two muscles, a flat and a point. And the flat is more for sliced brisket for sandwiches. And the point is more, it's fattier.
Uh-huh.
And you really have to cook it a little bit longer. I take the fat off the top and really cook it to basically burn the ends. And,
right.
And I think they're pretty tasty, but they wind up being like really tender and, you know.
Well, I might have sneaked one during the break, and I can tell you it's true. Look, it's a great story. I just love idea of sort of happening upon a successful business venture. So good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
One more plug then. So how do people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at blake@tbombbarbecue.com or at Howard Street Inn in Niles at 6700 West Howard.
So if people have a party for about, what, 500 tonight, you can get it taken care of.
No. I'm not that fast. I need 3 days at least.
Blake, it's nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you,
Steve. Continued success.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.